And the title of today's message is Know Jesus. K-N-O-W. To know Jesus. He is the one thing that means everything. You ever have somebody walk up to you and say, what do you know? What do you know? And we say, oh, not much. Not a lot. Maybe you tell them everything you know. I don't know. Maybe you spend a lot of time telling them everything you know. Well, here's the one thing you need to know. And I pray you already know. And I pray that your relationship with Him continues to grow. You need to know Jesus. That's the number one thing. And to be honest with you, even if you didn't know anything else, if you know this one thing, it's everything. You need to know this one who is everything. And He's the one thing that means everything. And His name is Jesus. We need to know Jesus. That's the one thing He requires of us, you know, is to know Him. I got to reading, kind of been going through life and the death and the burial and the resurrection. We celebrated at Easter and we celebrate the resurrection again this morning. That's why we meet on Sunday. But just thinking about His life on earth and thinking about how He continues to live on in heaven, but He left His church with some last concluding words before He went back to heaven. And so I got into that this week looking at Acts chapter 1. So that's kind of where our focus is going to be this morning, is out of Acts chapter 1. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 so that we can kind of follow along together, we're going to read everything up to and including verse 8. So this is Luke who's writing Acts. He's the same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote it to Theophilus. And some people, they debate whether or not Theophilus is an individual or just all those who are loved by God and lovers of God, because it's kind of what Theophilus means, as I understand it in Greek. But I think it was definitely a person or a group of people. And he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, both to do and teach, verse 1, until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, and had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after suffering by many infallible truths, being seen by them for during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from me. For truly, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Every believer in Jesus Christ, every true believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to every true believer in Jesus Christ. He is who lives in us. He is the one who gives us the power to live for Jesus. Do we need continual anointing by the Spirit? I think so, absolutely. You need to go back to God constantly to have that glow of fresh and new. I think you need to be going back to God every day. Don't just come back on Sundays. You need to be going to God every day asking for a fresh, new touch of God on your life. Does that mean you lose the Holy Spirit in between? Absolutely not. But do you need to be encouraged? Absolutely. And you need to ask to be encouraged every day. I can tell you guys, you got nothing to give nobody. I know I just did a double negative. It's for emphasis. All right. You have nothing to give anyone unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I can tell you what you have to give is going to be very limited. And if somebody is enamored by your greatness, that's going to get them about that far. Because I'm going to tell you, you ain't that great. Neither am I. None of us are, but Jesus is. And what we need is a continual anointing of the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and give what He has to give. In fact, you have so little, and they had so little, and these were the apostles. These were the disciples that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, touched Jesus, knew Jesus, were close to Jesus, walked with Jesus. They even healed people. They had so little to give, Jesus said, "Don't you dare," and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, "Don't you dare leave Jerusalem till you get what you need." He said, "Don't leave until you receive the promise of the Father." He's talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about, man, you need what I got, and don't you dare try to do anything without me. Because here's the thing, guys, we don't have what it takes, but he does. He goes on and he says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord," I love this. We do this to Jesus all the time. He talks to us, and then we go, we compute it through human terms, and we look at it analytically, and we put our own reasoning into it, and we think, well, he must be meaning that he's going to do this. Do you guys ever do that to Jesus? Guys, his deal is so much bigger than your deal. Don't insult him by trying to fit him in your human box, because God is bigger than you. And in fact, they still were only hoping for this one little tidbit of salvation. They were hoping to be saved from the Romans. Guys, God had a bigger plan. He had lived with them, walked with them, taught them for over 3 years. And they still were only hoping to be saved from the Romans. Jesus came to save them from their sins. Much bigger than the Romans. You see, your enemy isn't those in the government that are trying to destroy our nation. Your enemy isn't just, you know, the different bad guys around the world who are trying to take over the world. Your enemy is the devil. And he wants your soul. And even after he's lost you, that you belong to Christ and you can't lose that, he wants to absolutely destroy your witness so that you can't touch anybody else's life out there, because he is trying to limit the ability for the gospel to spread across the face of the earth, because he hates God. And he hates everything God's doing. And he wants to see as many people be miserable in hell as he can, because he knows that's where he's going. So here's the thing, guys. Don't you want to see the devil lose everything? Then you get in line with God now, you let him fill you, and then you obey him. And I'm just going to tell you, he'll keep doing what he does best. That's saving people from their sins. He didn't come to save them from the Romans. And look at the question they ask in verse 6. "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Don't you think? I just can't imagine how exasperating that must have been. But Jesus is still so patient, you know. He goes on to say to them, "It is not for you to know. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." It is not for you to know what God may do specifically in all of his little intricate. You couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it. Quite frankly, your brain's not big enough. Your understanding's not big enough. But God is bigger. He is more awesome than anything we could ever imagine. And here's the thing. The one thing we need to be worried about is doing what he left us here to do. Our little part. And it's what he says right here. "You shall be witnesses for me once you have received the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Guys, the one thing we need to know isn't all the details. And that's the thing we're always asking for. God, show me the details. Show me how you're going to give me the $38 every month, and then I'll sponsor a child. I've been there. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. God probably ain't going to show you ahead of time. He's just going to say, you be obedient to me, and then I'll show you. Okay? So if he's calling your heart, don't ask for all the details. Just know him and do what he says. You know? Say, God, I'll go over and I'll meet my neighbor and I'll try to introduce them to the idea of following Jesus whenever you show me how it'll all work out. I got to know all the details because I'm just that kind of person. You know what he's going to tell you? I'm not too worried about what kind of person you are. I made you. I know who you are, and I know who I'm calling, and I know that if you will rely on my Holy Spirit, we can do this. You know the crazy thing? I used to think, well, what if I don't? What's God going to do then? He don't even show me that. He tells me to be obedient by the power that he's given me. You look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and, you know, we've recited this verse, these verses over and over and over again, and we're going to do it again today. These are Jesus' concluding words from another gospel, okay? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I think we need these complimentary verses. Who has the authority? Jesus does. When do we get the authority? When we receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have the authority on your own. You need to receive the Holy Spirit because the authority has been given to Christ, and all authority, where? In heaven and on earth. He's got it all. Go therefore. Therefore is there for the reason of what was said before. Go because I have the authority. Go because I'm going to give you the authority. By the Holy Spirit, if you put it together with Acts chapter 1, that I'm going to give you. Go, therefore, and make disciples. See, this even carries it a little bit further. You're going to be his witnesses, and you're going to make disciples, because that's what he's called you to do. If you try to do anything else, you do not have the power of God. You only have the power of God to do what he's calling you to do, you see. And a lot of times we want to command this to go there and command this to do that, and we go, oh, well, God let me down. God didn't give you the authority to command that. God did give you the authority to be his witness. And you know what? The word witness is actually the root word for martyr. And a lot of times we go, oh, now we're going too far now. Martyrism more than just dying for the faith, but it is willing to be dying to the faith. You've got to be willing to die to yourself and to die for the faith to be willing to go over and knock on that door and maybe embarrass yourself. Or maybe speak to that person in the line at the checkout line at Walmart or wherever you are. Of course, we've got to stay 6 foot apart now, so it's getting harder, right? I think that's one of the plans of the enemy, folks. You see, he's trying to make it harder for us to connect with our neighbor. He's making us stay that far apart. You know how many people are probably dying just out of depression from being so separated from everybody else right now? Now, I get it. I know there's a virus. Do you ever notice there's always viruses? We live in a fallen world. There's going to be sicknesses. There's going to be viruses. And if it isn't COVID-19, it'll be COVID-20 or COVID-21 or something. And there's going to be something. That's the reason why some of the people that have heard these things before didn't freak out this time, and some of the other people who hadn't really paid much attention up to now, they freaked out. It's because I can tell you, I remember when the swine flu came along. I remember when the bird flu came along. I remember when all these predictions by the same group came along, and I'm still here. So you know what? I learned something through all that. I am not leaving one moment before it's God's will for me to, if I just keep myself in the center of his will. That's why I'm here today. That's why you're here today, because I think you probably agree. Do I get an amen? We got to give an amen because this is being recorded. They're going to think I'm just preaching to myself this morning. But you see, here's the thing. You're going to be his witness. You notice he said, shall be? If you receive the power and the power's flowing through you, this is what it's going to make you do. Okay? And if you don't do this, you don't have the power to do anything else. You're going to be his witness. You're going to make disciples. Can I get an amen? Amen. Guys, you are making disciples. Disciples are ones who are learning from you. You know, all around you, you got people learning from you every day. And they're learning one thing or the other. Here's what I want them to learn from me, and I really want to watch my life and doctrine real close so that they're learning the right things from me. I want them to be learning about Jesus from me. Because, see, that's the only thing I can say maternally. So you're going to be witnesses, you're going to be making disciples, and you're going to be, as a church body, baptizing them. Do I get an amen to that? That's why we got this little fixture back here in the back of our building. I've had little kids try to figure that thing out. It's always cool to hear them. You see, my office is over, and little kids, they'll come back and check it out when y'all ain't looking. And they come back in little groups, and they walk up the little steps, and they don't know I'm sitting back here. I get to hear their little conversations. I kind of like it. And they'll say, "What's this for?" "Well, man, it just looks like a big bathtub. I wonder why they got that back here." They're probably thinking I come over during the week and take my baths here or something. I don't know. You know, there's some little kids that think that I live here. Did y'all know that? I'm the preacher at the church. This is the only place they ever see me. And if they see me at the store, it really confuses them because they don't even know that I get out. They think you guys got me locked up here. But it's kind of funny. But the reason why we have that is because that's a command. People say, "Why do I need to be baptized, preacher?" And I'm going to say, because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. He said, if you're saved, you should be baptized. And then the next part is, we need to teach them, and I kind of worded this so it fit in that little line, teach them what he commanded. He said, teach them everything I commanded. And to observe it. Guys, God don't want you just coming here and hearing a good message and going home and still being the same. You see, Jesus wants you to observe what you've been taught, that he taught. And so what you need to do is you need to listen to my words, and then you need to take it to the Bible, and you need to figure out, is that really what Jesus said? And if it is, then you need to do it. That's what's going to change our world. Make disciples. Be his witness. And then we'll baptize them and we'll continue their discipleship process. Why should we do it? Quite frankly, because he said so. Guys, that's the only reasoning we need. You know, when you got a little bitty kid and they're just learning to talk and you say, "Don't go out there in the street. You stay here close to me." And they go, "Why?" Do you ever have that little kid? I've had 8 of them. "Why?" they say. You go, "Because I said so." Now, whenever they get to be 20, we got to have better reasons than that. But when they're real small, the faith of a child, Jesus said we're supposed to have. He said, unless you have the faith of a child, you can't enter in the kingdom of heaven. Why do you think he said the faith of a child? Because when we ask why, he says, because I said so. And that needs to be enough. That needs to be enough. It's because he said so. Why do we do this? Because he said so. Why should we do this? Because he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Since he has all the authority, he's offering it to us, then there's no reason why we shouldn't go anywhere, anytime, and share the gospel when he prompts us, when he gives us an opportunity. Guys, let's do it. Let's claim this community for Christ. Let's be the ones that's going to carry it. Let's be the ones to take it to DeSoto. Y'all live in DeSoto, don't you? All right. We got plants in DeSoto. How many of you guys live in Potosi? I know I got one. Taking it to Potosi. We need to take it everywhere we go, right? I got connections in Jefferson County, man. We're branching out. It's like our Samaria. Let's take it to Jefferson County. Guys, let's take it everywhere we go. To the uttermost parts of the earth. Thailand. Mexico. Wherever. That's why we have passports. God may be calling you to take one of those trips someday. Maybe short term. You may get there and God says, "Hey, guess what? I want you to stay. That can happen. Do it. God will bless you if it's Him saying, do it. Do it. You got the authority. You got the power. You're able. By what power? By what power? I'm going to tell you, Holy Spirit power. Is there anything limits the Holy Spirit's power? Is the Holy Spirit not powerful enough to do anything that He chooses to do? Absolutely not. He has the power to do anything He chooses to do. And He'll do it through us. So when should we do it? Guys, immediately when we receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to look at the book of Acts, you know what? They did exactly what He said, and they waited in Jerusalem. And they waited 10 more days, actually. He went back 40 days after His resurrection, and the day of Pentecost came on the 50th day. And do you know why what they did while they waited? They prayed. And their little group continued to grow, their little prayer group, until they had 120 people meeting in one place praying, because they were not going to do anything till they received what He said, and they didn't even know what it was going to be like to receive it. But they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they prayed, and they said, God, what should we do? And they decided, well, we need to probably, while we're waiting, get rid of this, you know, replace the one guy who was a traitor, and we'll figure this out. We don't know what to do, but we're going to wait on God, because He said wait. And I'm going to tell you, when day 50 came, some amazing things began to happen. Holy Spirit came upon them, and immediately, God started working through them, and they grew to 3,000 that day. Immediately, they allowed the Holy Spirit to use them. And I'm going to tell you, Peter went out there and preached, and he did not manby-pamby around. He didn't try to schmoozle people. He didn't try to hold back the Word of God. Man, I'm telling you, he just laid it out there, and people got saved. I'm going to tell you why people got saved. The Holy Spirit moved in their hearts, and the people of God were pleasing to Him. And He worked through them in a powerful way. By what power? We're talking Holy Spirit power. By when should we do it? Immediately when we receive the Holy Spirit. When should we stop? The end of the age. That's when we should stop. At the end of the age. When Jesus comes back, or we go to be with Jesus. If it's the end of my age, then I'll stop then. If it's the end of the age, then that means He's coming back. At any rate, until then, we got to keep doing it. Because He didn't change the command for any of us. We should start when we receive the Holy Spirit. We should stop at the end of this age. What or who do we need to know so we can do this? Jesus, that's it. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people trying to figure out all these different ways and all these different things, and there's people trying to get doctor's degrees so that they can do this. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, you can get a doctorate without knowing Jesus, and it won't do you a bit of good. What you need to do is make sure you know Jesus, and then know that's enough to get started right there. Just knowing Jesus, that's all you got to know. Just share that you know Jesus. Allow Jesus to fill you. Be the one that He wants to work through, because you have allowed yourself to be an open vessel to Him. You go back to Him for a consistent filling. I'm going to tell you, it is the essence of salvation. Turn to John 17:3. And He spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, Jesus did. And He said, Father, the hour has come to glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. To know Him. To know God. To know Him. That word means a close, personal, intimate knowledge of. It's the essence of salvation. It is the ability to minister. That's the one thing you got to know. Even if you don't know anything else, it's enough. And I'll prove it to you. Matthew 10:19-20, the last verse of the day. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Guys, one thing you got to know, Jesus. He gives you the Holy Spirit, and then he'll give you the right words when the time comes. Yeah, sure, we'll study. Yeah, sure, we'll put the Bible in our heart because you got to have it in your heart. Yeah, sure, we're going to do all these different things, but don't stress over how it's going to all work out. As long as you know Jesus, you know everything you need to know to get started. You just go out and let God use you. Let God use you. Just let God use you. You know, I like to work. Has anybody here around here ever worked with me before? You may think, man, you know, we didn't really like working with you. I don't know. But here's the thing. I've noticed something as I've gone and I've worked, and I've worked with a lot of different people because I love to work. And you know, some people are better helpers than others. Have you guys ever noticed that? Have you ever done any work and you had people helping you before? Some people are better helpers than others. And I'll tell you why. Something I notice. A good helper is one who's attentive to what the head man or the lead man's doing. I want a helper that pays attention to what I'm doing. I want a helper who makes it their main goal to help achieve the task at hand. You know, I've had helpers before, and all they're worried about is like whatever they want to do, and they're more concerned about them than they are about the bigger task at hand. And I think sometimes I'm afraid we do that to Jesus. We go, well, Jesus, I'll help you if this come into place and into play, and it's all perfect and all that. But you see, the one who can really be a helper to Jesus is the one who keeps their eyes on him, and we move with him, and we're pliable in his hand, and we're available. I love a helper that's available. I don't want to have to go looking for my helper whenever I need something and we're in the middle of a job, because if I got to go looking for him, and you know, they're over there having a candy bar, they're sitting under a shade tree, got their soda, and I got to go find them, then I just go ahead and do it myself. And I think an awful lot of people get passed over or being used to God because, quite frankly, God's got to go find us to get us to do anything. But if you're reporting into duty and you're putting yourself before him every day and you're praying, God, I want you to put me in the presence of people that I can talk to about you today. Please put somebody in my path that I can share with. You know what, guys? It may be a telemarketer call. But you've done prayed, you've done put yourself in his presence, you have asked him, and I would say, consider that your invitation when you get the phone call. Share Christ with that telemarketer. Maybe it's the person that, who steals your gas pump when you're getting ready to pull in. Did you ever have that happen? You're in a hurry, you're late. Yeah, some of you guys are never late, but some of us are. And you realize, man, I'm not going to make it there unless I stop and get gas. And you're pulling in the gas pump and somebody else goes, whoosh. Consider that your invitation. Because you see, if we get our eyes off the prize, then we'll think about the moment and we'll lose our opportunity. I do it every day, I'm sure at least once or twice or many times. Don't lose your opportunity. Be the helper that's paying attention and is available. And I'm going to tell you, God will use you. Don't let it be for your credit. Try to make your boss look good. That's what God wants. God will use you. You got the power. You got the authority if you got the Holy Spirit. And if you know Jesus, you know everything you need to know because now you got the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray that this wouldn't be a foreign thing, a foreign message to anybody in this house of worship today. I pray that we could all say a hearty amen. Lord, that we know to know you is to have the power. To know you is to be available. To know you is all we really need to know. And everything else needs to complement that. Every time I go back to the Bible and I read, it's in the context of knowing Jesus. Man, it makes the Old Testament come alive. It makes the the Psalms come alive. It makes the New Testament come alive. It makes Revelation come alive. Because I know Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Lord, then whenever I go out to talk to people and they're wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen later today, what's all this going to come and amount to, what's my life about, I've got answers because I know Jesus. If someone was to ask me what's going to happen when you die, I know. You know why? I know. Because I know Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me that confidence through knowing you. Lord, if there's anybody here or in the hearing of my voice, Lord, on the internet, who doesn't know that they know Jesus, pray they'll go to you today and just pray. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I know I'm a sinner and I don't deserve it, but Lord, I pray you'll save me. I want to surrender my life to you as my Lord, meaning my boss from this point on. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all stand, please.
The altar is open to anybody that wants to come up and pray. We just consider the steps the place to come. And just allow God to move your heart. Be obedient. God will meet you there.